The 11th chapter of Hebrews, as you know by now, is a listing of people who found approval from God. Now, I've mentioned this numerous times, that this approval was not because these people were religious, not because they were living necessarily holy lives, but simply because of their faith. It was their faith that found approval in God's sight. Their faith. This morning we're looking at a man named Abraham, who's a perfect example of this. And we see in Hebrews 11 verse 8 that it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Abraham's life is found in the book of Genesis. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 11. We read about this man, Abraham. His father was Terach, and their family lived in the city of Ur of the Chaldeans. Terach was an idolater. We see in Joshua 24 that Abraham's father was an idolater. He worshipped other gods. He did not know the true and living God. He did not have a relationship with God, but he worshipped idols. He worshipped false gods. One day, Terach decided to move the family to the land of Haran. And after a number of years there, Terach died, and we pick up the narrative. I guess we are going to Genesis 12. We pick up the narrative in Genesis 12, verse 1. After Abraham's father has died there in the land of Haran, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and he, the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Wow, we think, what a religious guy. Being called to a land that he did not know, and God said, "Hey, I want you to pack up your bags and move," and move he did. What a religious man, so obedient, so holy. Or was he? Or was he? You see, what we find out as we read through the Bible is that this is not the first time that God has spoken to Abraham. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter 7, as Stephen is preaching to the Jewish leaders, we find out the chronology of how this actually happened. We find out, Stephen said in Acts 7, 2, "The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia," that is, in the city of Ur of the Chaldeans. The glory of our father, the glory of the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran, and said to him, "Depart from your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you." Then he departed from the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. And from there, after his father died, God removed him into this country in which you are now living. What we find out is that Abraham, when he was living in his father's house, in Terach's house, in this idolatrous setting, God singled him out and said, "Abraham, I want you to pack up and move." And Abraham did what people did with Jesus. "Well, let me first do this. I will in a while. I'm going to wait until." You see, Abraham obeyed eventually, but not when God told him. God said, "Abraham, I want you to pack up. I want you to move. I want you to be obedient and do what I say." And Abraham said, yeah, whatever. And he didn't. And then it was when Terach moved the family to Haran that Abraham moved. He obeyed his dad, but he didn't obey his father in heaven. And then after a number of years there, when his father died, God appeared to Abraham again and said, "Hey, for the second time, I want you to move. I want you to move. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. So now Abraham will be holy and do just as God has said. Well, what did Abraham do? Verse 5. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions, which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Before, Abraham had delayed his obedience, and now his obedience is partial. Do you see what God said? I want you to leave your relatives, leave your father's house, leave all these people behind, and go to this land of Canaan. And so what did Abraham do? He packed up his wife and his nephew and everybody and moved on out. Again, Abraham was not a very religious guy, not a very holy guy, not a very observant guy. He was a guy who, like you and me, had rebellion in his life. He obeyed to a point. He obeyed after a delay. He obeyed partially, but he did not obey fully or quickly, as we're called to do. Now, what is really strange, though, is that in Hebrews 11, it refers to Abraham as being a man of faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He went to this land. He went out not knowing where he was going. How could Abraham be described as a man of faith when he delayed his obedience, when he only obeyed partially? How could he be described as a man of faith? Well, the end of verse 8 tells us, he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham did that by faith. Abraham obeyed God, going to a place that he did not know, that he had never been. It must have been very scary. It must have been very mysterious. I've never been there. God, are you sure you're calling me out to this? And he went. He went by faith. He wasn't the most obedient guy in the world, but he had the faith to believe that God was directing him to this place that he'd never been. And verse 9 tells us, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, think this through. When Abraham packed up everybody and, again, not obedient in the manner in which he did it, but obedient to go to this place he had never been, and God said, I'm going to give you this land as an inheritance. I'm going to give you this land. This is going to be yours. And Abraham didn't have a lot of people, didn't have tens of thousands of people marching across the land. He brought his family and those servants that he had and went into this land. And I'm sure he told everybody, yeah, this God appeared to me in this vision. He's going to give me this land as an inheritance. It's going to be really cool. And they showed up in the land of Canaan. And what did they find? Canaanites. Lots and lots of Canaanites. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of Canaanites occupying cities, fortified cities with these huge walls. And, you know, what would Abraham do? Hey, guys, I'm here. This is my land. You need to leave. Think about the faith that must have taken when he entered in to the land of Canaan, when he crossed the border and saw all these people. Again, he had to do this by faith. By faith, he lived as an alien. He was a stranger in a strange land living here. And I'm sure Abraham did not see how this was going to happen, but he believed God anyway. Abraham, by faith, he lived as an alien. Now, this is faith, believing God's word, taking God's word at face value and saying, God said it, therefore, I believe it. God said it, I'm going to obey it. It doesn't have to make sense. All the signs can be totally wrong. All the signs are pointing in the other direction. But if God's word says it, I will do it. I will believe it. I have faith. That is the kind of faith that God is blessed by. Yeah, but you don't understand, God. There's all these Canaanites and some of them are really tall. Or, God, I believe you in spite of what's going on around me. I believe that what you have said is true. I believe it because it's in your word. even though all the world says, no, don't do that. What? That's ridiculous. When your friends and your family are going, what are you, a moron, going out to this land you've never been to before? Haven't you seen the Canaanites? Haven't you seen how tall they are? Haven't you seen that they've got swords and chariots and you've got nothing? The person of faith says, hey, if God said it, I believe it. If God's word is there in black and white, I am going to walk in obedience to it regardless of the signs, regardless of the Canaanites, regardless of giants in the land. And so Abraham lived as a stranger in a strange land. He waited a long time for the promise to happen. His son Isaac was born. And then Isaac's son Jacob was born, Abraham's grandson. And they were promised the same things by God. I'm giving this land to you as an inheritance. You will populate this place, but still no fulfillment. The son was born, the grandson was born, still no fulfillment. And this is another important aspect of faith. The first one, remember, faith believes that God's word is what it is, that when God has told me something, I will walk in obedience to it. It doesn't matter what all the signs are pointing to. But the second one, the second aspect of faith that's just as important is patience. Walking in obedience for a long time. First one is believe it, obey it, move in it. The second one is be willing to wait. Do what you need to do for as long as it takes until God does it. It might be a year from now. It might be 10 years from now. Can you imagine if God gave you a promise and then you had to wait 40 years for it? How faithful would you be after 1 year, after 10 years, if God had said it in his word and said, walk in obedience to this and I will bless you? Then how long will you wait? Some of us won't even wait a day. Some of us won't even wait an hour. We say, yeah, we just freak out. All the signs are pointing in this direction. There's Canaanites in the land. I'm just going to get out of here before, well, I still have my head. But he waited and he waited and he was willing to wait patiently for the promise to be fulfilled. Now, the question is, you say, yeah, it's easy to preach about patience. It's easy to preach about long suffering. It's easy to preach about this in an abstract sense. But how do I really apply it? I mean, I don't have patience. I'm not willing to wait. I'm willing to admit that. I'd like to grow in patience. How do I grow in patience? Well, again, the answer is right here. How did he have patience? Verse 10, he was willing, or he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Where's that city? It's up in heaven. Abraham was willing to wait for the promises to be fulfilled on earth because his real view was his heavenly inheritance. His real view was his heavenly inheritance. You will find that when you go for a walk, when you're called to walk a long distance, if you spend that time looking at your feet, you're going to get tired very quickly. You're going to get exhausted. Each and every step will become laborious because you're looking at your feet and you're counting. One, two, three, left, right. Boy, this is taking forever. And you look up, it turns out you've only walked 3 blocks. But your other chance, your other option is as you're going on a walk, you look off far in the horizon. You look off towards the mountains. You look up at the Rockies and you walk and you walk and you walk and you realize, man, I have walked for miles and I haven't even realized it. That's the key, by the way, if you're into long distance walking, that's the key. If you're into long distance walking with God, that is also the key. We spend so much time focused on our feet that we don't have patience. How could Abraham be promised by God, you will receive this land for an inheritance, and then how could he walk with God for all this time and not give up? Day after day, year after year, decade after decade, son after grandson, how do you do it? He had long distance vision. That's where he was focused. He wasn't focused in on, God, is it today? Are you going to wipe out the Canaanites today? Am I going to receive this land for an inheritance today? He said, God, I'm focusing in on the heavenly city. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth, the Apostle Paul told us. He had his mind set on the things of heaven, that city whose foundation is engineered by God. That is how we walk long distances. That is how we show long suffering. That is how you can be obedient to God's word. In spite of the Canaanites all around you, in spite of everybody saying, "What are you, a moron? How can you believe this promise of God? Look, it's been 6 months. It's been a year. It's been 2 years. How come you're still holding on to that?" And you can say, because it's right here in God's word, and my focus is in heaven. And the thing to ask yourself, if you're not experiencing patience, if you're not going through long suffering, ask yourself, are you looking for God's blessings, or are you looking to bless God? Are you looking for the blessings? I want it now. I want to be rewarded now. I want to receive that inheritance now. I'm not willing to wait. Or are you looking to bless God? God, I will be patient. I will be obedient to your word. I promise as long as it takes, because my focus is not down here by my feet. My focus is up there. Are you looking for God's blessings, or are you looking to bless God? Are you looking for what you want to receive on this earth, or are you looking for the inheritance in heaven that God has promised to you? Where your focus is going to determine whether you will be long-suffering, whether you will be patient, whether you will endure all those things. Focus on your heavenly inheritance, and your earthly inheritance will be much easier to get to. Well, verse 11 says this: by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Abraham was walking in faith. Abraham was focusing his vision on that heavenly inheritance. But I don't want you to think that Abraham was now a holy and righteous guy. Abraham was not religious through and through. Abraham was not the Pope. Abraham was not someone that you would look at and go, "What a righteous, religious, holy, obedient guy." Yes, he had faith. Yes, he was focusing on his heavenly inheritance, but he was still the same Abraham. And it's important that we do this as we read through Hebrews 11. It's important that we look at the failings of these men and women, because then we can identify with them. If we just gloss them over like the Sunday school stories do, then we can't relate to any of them. Have you noticed that if you ask people, "Hey, what's your favorite person in the Bible? Who can you most relate to?" Who does everybody say? Simon Peter. Why? Because it's so obvious that Simon Peter is always putting his foot in his mouth. Every time he talks, he's like, you know, and we're like, "That's a guy I can relate to." But you know what? Everyone in the Bible is a guy you can relate to. Everyone in the Bible is a gal you can relate to, because their sin is shown, their failings are shown, and Abraham is no different. Abraham, even though he was focusing in on heaven and he was waiting, what happened? Well, we find out what happened, that he was no doubt expecting to have to receive this inheritance, because God said, "I will make you a great nation through your offspring. There will be so many of them, you can't even count." And so Abraham and Sarah were no doubt thinking, "We're going to have tons of kids. We're going to have all kinds of kids. We're going to take over this country by just having all kinds of kids." It's kind of like the Mormon philosophy. So you think I'm kidding? I'm not. "We're going to have so many children, and they'll have so many grandchildren, that within two or three generations, we'll outnumber them. We'll forcibly take the place over." That's an agenda that's even in the United States right now, right out of Salt Lake City. It's scary. No doubt they thought that. No doubt they thought that they would have dozens of kids in their lifetime. But by the time they got to be senior citizens and they didn't have any children at all, they started to get a little freaked out. Sarah started to think, "Hey, you know, let's get practical here." Practicality set in, and we're saying, "Okay, we're kind of old now. And God promised us this land, and we haven't inherited it. We're still living as strangers in it. God promised us offspring, and we haven't received any of it. This is bad news. What are we going to do? Did they wait patiently and say, God, you can do all things. We're just going to keep putting our trust in you. No, Sarah was a practical woman. And she said, okay, now I remember the scripture that says God helps those who help themselves. That's not a scripture, by the way. It's a theory that man has come up with to justify working in the flesh. Instead of waiting for God, I'll just do something myself and God will bless it. And so Sarah, very intelligent woman, very practical woman, said, well, you know what? There is a law in this land that says that if a woman is barren, then her handmaid, the servants in the house, can bear children for her, kind of a surrogate mom kind of thing. And legally, at least in this land of Canaan, legally, the children become the children of the mistress of the house. And so I think that's what needs to happen because I've been barren my whole life. Now I'm well over 40. She was twice that. Now I think that if we just look at this law and say, you know what, I've got a servant woman. She's good looking. She's from Egypt. You know, she does that black eyeliner thing, way too much makeup, but generally good looking gal. And her name is Hagar. And Abraham, why don't you have a baby with her? And then that'll become my child, and then the promise of God will be fulfilled. And Abraham, being a typical guy, went, okay. And so, Sarai said to Abraham, this is Genesis 16, if you're still there. Genesis 16, verse 2, Sarai said to Abraham, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai, and after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband, Abram as his wife, and he went into Hagar, and she conceived. This is not a religious man at work. This is a man who for 10 years walked in faith and had a stumbling of faith. And you know what? All it takes is a little bit of stumbling of faith to make a lifelong decision that is a mistake. A little bit of stumbling of faith and you conceive an Ishmael. That was the name of the son who was born. Hagar gave birth to a son. They called him Ishmael. And so at first they thought, well, this is really good because now Ishmael can fulfill all the promises that God has made to us, that he can have all kinds of children, our grandchildren, and we'll populate the place and we'll have descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore and as the stars in heaven. And God said, not a chance, not a chance. You see, in reality, God will not allow us to do things in the flesh and then bless them. We cannot say, God, I went out on my own for a couple of months and I made all these decisions. And now I'm asking you to come back and bless this from where I am now. God, I know what you promised me before, but now I want you to bless where I am now. And God says, not a chance. God will not turn spiritual the things that are begun in the flesh. He won't. He just won't. And having begun in the spirit, Paul said, are we now going to be perfected in the flesh? Not a chance. At any point, we can be walking in faith and then make a stupid fleshly decision. And then once we get back on track, a week later, a day later, a month later, 6 months later, we get back on track. We say, now, God, this is where I'm at today. Bless me now. And God says, not a chance. God refused to acknowledge Ishmael. God refused to acknowledge Ishmael as the son of promise, as the heir of any of Abraham's promises. It caused all kinds of problems. A simple fleshly decision, a little faltering in faith. Man, it's been 10 years. Maybe I ought to do something. Has led to what has got our world on the brink of war today. For you know, the descendants of Ishmael are those who we call the Palestinians. The entire Arab world descending from Ishmael. The entire Muslim world descending from this mistake. But the son of promise, who would be Isaac, was the father of the Jews. And so we see an entire world at the brink of war because of this dumb mistake. Do you realize that your mistakes, when you stop waiting for God to fulfill his promises his way and you start trying to make things happen in your life, it doesn't just mess you up. It messes up everybody who you involve. And it messes up your kids and your grandkids. It can mess up entire nations, believe it or not. It can mess up entire nations. One simple Ishmael. One fleshly decision, one bad decision, one thing where you go, you know what? There's too many Canaanites around here. Everybody's telling me this is a mistake. I'm going to stop walking in obedience to the word, and I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to stop depending on what God has promised, and I'm going to make it happen myself. You will mess up your life, guaranteed, and God will not bless it. God will not bless it. God refused. Even when Abraham begged, "Oh Lord, that Ishmael might live before thee," God said, "No." And years later, 13 years after this kid was born, God appeared to Abraham again. Abraham was 99 years old, long past the age of conceiving children, and his wife, 89 at this point, was not a candidate for fertility. God told him again, it's going to be Sarah's child that receives your promises, that is going to bear so many children, there will be a great nation born out of them. Genesis 17, verse 16. God told Abraham, I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. By her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90, bear a child? Ridiculous. On the outward, he seemed to be obedient. He fell on his face. That's a sign of worship. But then in his heart, he was laughing, going, come on. How is that going to happen? Again, I want you to notice this is not the most religious guy in the world. This is not the most religious man in the world. And later, God gave this promise again in Sarah's hearing, and she laughed in verse 18, or chapter 18 and verse 12. In Genesis 18:12, Sarah, when she heard this, laughed to herself, saying, after I've become old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? But then as we go through, we realize that when she realized that it was God that said it, she believed it. When Abraham got over the initial shock of, this is weird, this is kooky, he realized, this is God. And the two of them realized that God can do anything. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Like Jesus said in Luke 18, the things impossible with men are possible with God. Lord, that guy's never going to change. I'm just going to quit this job. Well, maybe man can't change him, but God can. Lord, this situation is just unbearable. I'm bailing out. Because it's impossible for it to ever change. Really? God can change it. Lord, she's too old. She can't have any kids. We've got to do it some other way. No, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And so by faith, Sarah herself received ability to conceive. By faith. When she believed, she released the hand of God, you might say. By faith, she received the ability to conceive. Did she just say, I believe it, and it happened? No, when she believed it, God moved. When she believed it, God moved. God would not move before that. I want you to notice something. If God has given you a promise and you've been doubting it, if you found something in the Word and you're doubting it, why hasn't it happened yet? Why hasn't it happened yet? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. God won't bless you with this until you believe it. I don't believe my boss is ever going to change. I'm going to quit. Hey, you know what? If you start believing that God can change this guy, maybe God will do something. When you start praying for this guy instead of praying about him, when you start praying him into the kingdom instead of him out of the company, maybe God will do something. By faith, Sarah received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. Remember, she was 90 years old when she conceived this child. That's a physical impossibility. A physical impossibility, and yet God can do anything, because with God, all things are possible. Therefore, also, there was one born of one man, and him as good as dead. I mean, he was 100 years old. He wasn't going to conceive anybody. He was as good as dead as far as that was concerned, and yet God did it. And what was the result? Well, the Jews today are testimony. As many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and as innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. With God, all things can be possible. If you walk in faith, if you walk in obedience, if you're willing to be patient for God to change the situation, for God to bring it to fruition, for God to change that guy or that gal, that boss, that neighbor, that spouse, God can change them if you are willing to wait. God can wipe out the Canaanites without you ever lifting a hand if you're willing to have faith and focus in on, okay, I'm going to focus in on my heavenly inheritance. I'm going to walk with God no matter how difficult it gets. No matter how hard the situation is, I'm going to focus out there instead of down here. And I am going to be faithful. I am going to wait. God, I am going to be obedient. And we have our stumblings along the way. And the important thing to do is to shake those off and get rid of them, because if we conceive an Ishmael, there is no turning back from that. Sure, God can come back and fulfill his promises, but at what cost? At what cost? Can we bow our heads before the Lord and in all humility come to him and realize and recognize the promises that he's given, the commands he's made so visible in his word? God, you have called us to obedience, and we've walked in disobedience. You've laid out the promises so clearly, and we've gone our own way. You've promised to do miracles, and we try to fulfill them in the flesh. You've promised us Isaac, and yet we're conceiving Ishmaels. Lord, we know that without faith, it's impossible to please you. And when we're not walking by faith, we're walking in rebellion. God, help us to walk in faith. Lord, I pray for each one of us, that your Spirit would illuminate to us where those areas in our life are that we have forsaken your word, where we have forsaken your promises, where we have gone our own way, where we focused in on our feet. And Lord, before an Ishmael is conceived, we desire to repent. May we not harden our hearts. Lord, we know that true faith does not look at the Canaanites, doesn't look at the walled cities, just looks at the word, doesn't listen to those who are giving input, worldly input, saying, we got to turn around and go back. This is ludicrous. This is impossible. God couldn't possibly have asked you to do this. God, we have to stop listening to those voices and listen only to your Spirit. And Lord, as we do, we desire to repent. God, we may be in the middle of conceiving an Ishmael, but we know that you're calling us today to forsake that, to walk in your ways. We know that Jesus told us, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to stop Hagar before she comes in, to stop Ishmael before he's conceived, to turn to you, to stop looking to fulfill your promises in the flesh, but instead focus in on heaven, to set our mind on things above, to walk in obedience to you, and then let you fulfill the promises. Regardless of our age, regardless of our circumstance, we know that that is possible for you when it's impossible for us. So God, we commit ourselves to you. May we not be hardening our hearts to the prompting of your Spirit, but may we hear what your Spirit has spoken to us. May we act on it immediately. We commit our hearts to you. We commit our lives to you. They are not even ours, for you have purchased them. And so in all submission, God, we go out in obedience with joy, being led forth by your Spirit in peace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.